Hello and welcome to another episode of Meta Sidekicks. My name is Liv and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. If I can tell you right now, my faith has been restored and like everything spiritual and lovely, whatever, it just happened right now. I'm going to tell you, I believe in everything now. There is a God, because I just got done recording a lovely almost hour-long podcast for you all, which I'm sure you've all listened to already because it was last Sunday's podcast. And when I hit the little clicky-doodle button to save it, my screen went blank. And I thought I lost all 56 minutes of it, which I'm sure it's not 56 minutes after it being edited. But I just like, it is not something that I needed. A couple weeks ago, I had an entire podcast get deleted and I just was so upset and sad, and I just had to like bite the bullet and grit down and redo it all, but it wasn't as good as it was the first time. That's just how I feel. And the fact that I almost lost another podcast, or like thought that I did, I was honestly about to cry, you know? I'm trying to have a date night with my husband. I gotta finish this podcast before I do anything else, and I'm excited to be here for you all, but I was also very sad to have to almost do that podcast again. But the reason I believe that there now is a God, all jokes aside, is because my free little Audacity software was like, here's a giant list of things that weren't quote unquote saved properly that you can recover from. And I almost overlooked the fact that the podcast that I just recorded was in the recovery thing, and I was able to recover it and save it normally. So there is a God, and I'm so happy to be here now with the hopeful tequila margarita prospect on the horizon and some lovely listener stories for you all today. Are you excited? Good, me too. Okay, I know I used that button a couple times, but I really like it. I added it for when we collabed with Let's Get Haunted with Nat and Allie a couple, like, I think it was August of last year, where we collaborated with them, and I just had fun adding that button and this button.
No.
Because I guess Allie hates that button, but Nat loves to use it all the time on their podcast, so I was like, I gotta bring it back. It's the nut button. Anyways, thank you all for being here. This is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal. I already talked about that, but some people are new here and they don't know that, so I'm going to tell it to them again. My name's Liv. I'm a medium, and this is going to be a more interesting version of listener stories than any other podcast you've ever listened to before, because I'm going to tell you the spiritual insight to the best of my abilities of what's going on in each listener story. Anyways, I'll stop being such a bean, a noodle, an absolute just like corn dog. And we'll get to the first story. I don't have a life update for you guys. I'm here. I'm square. And I'm full of ADHD dumb things like fun facts, but I don't have any of them off the top of my head right now. So, you know, I'm sure there's one that's going to pop up through this podcast, but let's just get down to the listener stories this week. I have this first one I'm really excited to share with you. So I'm just going to get into it.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First story is sent in by Sophie M. Sophie says, hello, this is for a listener's story podcast episode if you want to use it. You keep saying that long stories are okay, so moderate warning. This is going to be a long one. Hopefully it makes sense. Oh, Sophie, you did listen. You listened to the podcast. I did ask for long ones, and I'm excited to read your story. So let's get into it. Sophie says, last month I shot for a short film that was filming on location at a haunted old manor house in Wales. The house dated back to the 1400s. It was originally a farmhouse, and in the 1600s, the plot of land was acquired by a wealthy family who built a manor house on it and passed that manor through the family for a few hundred years. The only remaining part of the building from the 1400s was the basement. Then the rest was from the 1600s onwards. It was turned into a hotel in the 1950s, I think, and then in the 2010s, it was derelict and used as a weed farm for a while. It was massive and maze-like. The lobby has a staircase in it that seemingly goes nowhere. There are corridors all over the place, and it was so confusing and dark and easy to get lost in, and it felt like there was always some kind of presence watching us. I want to try and describe the place a bit to give the overall feeling because it really was incredible, and I also want to explain my experience of being there. Hopefully, it'll all make sense. I'll also try to point you in the direction of pictures of the place. So arriving on set, the first thing I needed to do was pee, and there was only one working toilet in this massive place. We had a little place to rest when not filming in a newly converted part of the building, which used to be the stables. This part of the building felt safe, probably because it was the only part of the building that wasn't covered in mold and had lights. But there was no toilet in this modern bit. The toilet was in the main building. So to get there, you had to enter through this slit of a front door in a massive, freezing, dark, windowless lobby with a floating staircase and an old concierge desk, faded portraits on the wall, and a bunch of doors leading off into other areas of the house, all of which were either closed, shut, or pitch black. You have to walk around a corner and down a pitch black corridor to get to the toilet, and this toilet is decorated with 1960s decor and mold. I went alone on the first visit and had to bring people with me every other time because I was so scared. Just a little interjection right here. This literally makes me feel like The Conjuring House. I know you're in a giant castle in Wales, which I'm going to tell you right now, I'm freaking jealous of because I want to go to a castle in Wales, not only because I'm Welsh, but because castle in Wales, come on. But like, okay, so The Conjuring House originally was built in like three sections, one from like the 1500s with the ending of it being built in like the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. So it like has 300 years of history for the sections and segments of the house being built. But the bathroom in The Conjuring House, although it's very warm and it's very light and it's very nice and inviting, it's haunted, my guys. I remember I always had one of our friends, I either had Russell or Anthony, and I think Janelle came and watched a couple of times too, but I had them stand watch outside the door when we went to The Conjuring House. Because I was like, I'm telling you right now, it's freaky and I need someone to hold my hand, if not on the way there, not during, but just be a conscious presence with me so I'm not going there alone. And your story, Sophie, just makes me think about The Conjuring House bathroom. Like, you need a bathroom buddy. When we would go on investigations, Anthony was usually my bathroom buddy and sometimes Janelle and Russell. And it's what you do. Anyways, moving on. Sophie says, my partner was also filming for this project and had traveled out a few days before me. I'd heard whispers that the place was potentially haunted, so when my massive skeptic partner called me and told me he had refused to go into the basement because of the dark feeling he was getting from it, I immediately knew that this was going to be interesting. The basement is one of the most haunted parts of the house, alongside the lobby. There was a medium who was acting as the caretaker of the building whilst we were there. The general caretaker had been in a car accident with a deer, so they couldn't be there until the last day. Anyways, she told us about the building and its ghosts. In the basement, she said there are two girls from the original farmhouse, and that's where they experience most of the activity when people go there to ghost hunt. She told us that her skeptic son had been down there during a reading once and had volunteered to put something behind the boiler, away from everyone else who was down there. Whilst he was over there, she gently asked the ghosts to show him their presence as he was a skeptic. And someone touched his shoulder and he was like, nope, fuck this. Our producer had been down there helping to film on another instance and had been left down there alone. The madman switched off his lightsaber, stood in the dark for a few seconds, then turned it back on and saw a shadow walk across the light in front of him. Oh no. Can we just talk about the fact that the lady who was the caretaker of the house for a hot second was like, my son's a skeptic. Hey, ghosty friends, can you freak him out? And they were like, hold my beer. I can't. And then I honestly, Sophie, when I was reading this, when you said your producer turned off his lightsaber, I know it's probably just like you're Welsh or over the pond, wherever you're from. I don't know where you're from, but like the lost in translation thing for a flashlight. But in my head, when you say lightsaber, I think like lightsaber, the Force, Star Wars. So I just have like an image of your producer downstairs, like freaking Yoda, like with a lightsaber, and he turns it off, and then like a shadow walks right in front of the light just to be like, screw you, you turned off your light, now you, when you turn it back on, I'm going to specifically walk in front of your light to scare the poop out of you. And I just such an audacious, like, passive aggressive move on the ghosts, like, part, but it's so funny. Okay, anyways, continuing on. Sophie says, there are also rune carvings on the wood down there at the entrance to the main basement room where the majority of the activity happens, which were apparently put there to keep witches out. Super weird, but to be honest, it would be such a great place for witches to gather, so fair enough, I guess. I love it. That's awesome. So if you don't know, side note before we continue on with Sophie's stories, there actually did used to be a, they look like, they can all be different, but people used to carve the ruins into the top of like archways or on door handles or around door handles on doors in Wales and like the British Isles areas. And they were used to quote unquote ward off bad spirits or witches, things like that. So given the placement of this castle and the time frame in which it was built, that is not uncommon. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's like, it's just normal things. Like how sometimes here in the States, we put horseshoes above our doorways to quote unquote catch the good luck. This is what people in the olden days used to do. They would put graffiti and carve it. No, I'm sorry, that's a rude thing to say. I say it jokingly. Graffiti and carve it into the wooden posts on their homes to, quote unquote, keep the witches out or like the bad malevolent energy. You know, people have been doing things like this for years, millennia. Anyways, Sophie continues. In the lobby, a gray lady haunts the staircase. She is the spirit of Clara Thomas, the last lady of the house who belonged to the family who passed the building through the generations. I did a lot of research on her, and she was a boss-ass bitch. She was the richest lady in Wales at the time and died an old lady in 1914 and had about 1,000 people come out in the streets when she died because she had helped so many lives. She built schools and orphanages and donated so much to the community. She never married, never had any children, fully out of choice it seems, which is amazing for a 19th century, because she turned down a suitor who then moved away to New Zealand and asked to be buried by her when he died, which is a bit weird if you ask me, but to each their own. Aw, it is a bit weird, but I don't know. I'm reading this book that I've mentioned a couple of times in past podcasts, and it, one of the sections they talk about love, and they talk about how even if you love someone, they don't have to physically be around you because like distance makes the heart grow fonder type of thing. The way they said it was much more poetic and like spiritually invoking, but it was cute. It was something like this soldier professed his love to this girl, but then had to be shipped off to war and then never came home. And then years and years and years later, they somehow met by happenstance. And he was like, even though I was so far from you, my love for you has never faltered. And that's kind of what this makes me think about. But also if some rando dude that I was like, no, I do not want to get married to you, it is not reciprocal, was like, I need to be buried next to you, I probably would be very freaked out. Oh, another little side tangent before we move on to the next of Sophie's story, because she has a lot of her story and it's here for you guys. I was giving a reading a couple weeks ago and I got to meet this lovely woman from Australia. I love all of my clients from Australia. All of y'all are literally some of my favorites. I've never had, like, everyone, I would say 99.99% of everyone that I meet is very nice. They're very cordial, even if they're skeptic or have their own doubts, which I totally understand. It's totally cool. I get it. But everyone from Australia, you guys just kind of like stick out a little bit. You're very nice. I feel like everyone from Australia is nice. But anyways, I was talking to this lovely woman from Australia and we were talking to her dad who was in heaven. And one of the ways in which he validated I was talking to him, because throughout the reading, I will ask souls to give me little tidbits of information that I wouldn't know, just to keep reiterating and reestablishing that I am talking to them, that the connection isn't fuzzy, that I'm not like veering off course from talking to them or like muttering, whatever. And the thing that he used was, his daughter asked about his funeral, maybe, or I was asking about his funeral, something that he could give me as a detail to just reestablish that I was connecting with him correctly. And he gave me the information that he's buried next to a woman in the cemetery. And this woman obviously is, she's not a part of his family. She's just another woman. And it was just funny because I asked his daughter, I said, I know this is an odd question. I said, but do you remember if he was buried next to a woman specifically on his left? Because he showed me this other woman in heaven or spirit with him. And she's like this cute old woman. And she's much older than him because he unfortunately died relatively young. And I asked his daughter and she said, yes, actually I do. I think he's buried next to a woman. And the soul of this woman's father was like, I love my cemetery roommate. And I was like, what? A cemetery roommate? So this is also what Sophie, your story makes me think about. Like, do you imagine that Clara dies and then she's like, gosh darn it, now I got this dude buried next to me. I thought I got rid of him years ago. You know? And now she's in heaven like, geez, now I gotta sit next to him proverbially for the rest of my afterlife. So anyways, okay. Thank you for listening. Moving on to more of Sophie's story. So Sophie says, the medium said that all the spirits on the building are there out of choice, that this is a place that was a happy place for them in life. The sound dude in the crew was recording room sound on his own in the lobby, literally holding a mic in the air and recording the air in the room for sound editing. And he heard a voice whisper, please help me, please help me, please help me. And then he felt a gust of wind past him. He wasn't freaked out by it, just curious and in awe. He checked the sound back, thinking it must have picked it up, but it didn't. I asked the medium if that was Clara, wondering why she would be pleading for help if she was happy here. And she said no and didn't elaborate on who it was. Ooh, okay. I have to agree with the medium that most spirits at a place are there out of choice, or are there coming for a choice, not just because it could be a happy space for them, but they could also be presenting in order to help the people that are there learn certain lessons or work through certain things that they're going through in their life. I've always learned, or I have been learning, I should specify, I have been learning that souls in haunted places will present, even though they are crossed over in heaven or spirit, they will choose to come back and interact with you for various reasons. Some of those can be healing. Some of them can be for their own entertainment. Maybe like the guy walking in front of the producer's light when he turned it back on in the basement. He was like, ooh, I gotcha. but there are reasons that they'll show up. As far as the please help me, I think that wasn't necessarily a spirit that was choosing to talk to the sound producer. I think the sound producer may have been tapping into a timeline of the building or a residual energy, because I've learned that spaces can also have their own sentience. Sentience is a far stretch. I would say maybe consciousness. But after a long period of time, a house, a place, even if it doesn't have a house but a physical location, can have its own energetic imprint of the things that have taken place there. So I feel like there was a place and time in which a girl or someone was saying, please help me, like that, that your sound producer was picking up on. So I would say that's more of a residual haunting than an active haunting. So I hope that answers a little bit of a question. Continuing on. Sophie says, after chatting to the medium and trusting that I was safe there, I went to the lobby with the producer and another actor while they were setting up for a scene on the other side of the building and asked, if there's anyone here, could you give us a sign? And the producer's walkie-talkie immediately made this long, mangled buzzing sound. We all looked at each other and was like, just to be clear, because we aren't sure whether it was from upstairs, could you give us another sign? And the already sparse light coming through the front door slit dimmed and the room felt colder. It was wild. We found out later as well that nobody was using the walkie-talkie upstairs because they figured the message/sound was coming from us, which is absolutely not true. So freaky and magical and cool. Most of my scenes were up in the servants' quarters, which the medium had told us was inhabited by a spirit who had said that they liked being referred to as the Fat Sir. I love that. The Fat Sir was an old servant master, I believe. Either that or the manager of the staff of the hotel. I can't remember which. I feel like it was the manager of the staff at the hotel. That's the answer that I get while I'm reading this. Sorry, continuing on. Sophie says, this part of the house was so moldy that it had mushrooms growing out of the wall. There were remnants of the weed factory in there too, and it was a gorgeous set, but the mold was rough to film around. The monitors were set up outside the room we were filming in a little corridor at the top of a very steep staircase. There was a moment during us setting up for a scene where the crew had all of the monitors cut out on them, straight up to everything just turned off, and someone in the crew apparently spoke to the corridor / spirit and promised they appreciated him letting us be there and asked him to let the stuff to work, and everything turned back on. So weird. I love this. This is a really good story in a while. Sophie, thank you so much for sending this in. Sophie says, it was just a bit of a crazy experience to be in a place like that for a prolonged period of time. People use the building for ghost hunts and visit it just to experience the activity there. So it was crazy to be filming with all of that happening on the side. By the end of my 5 days there, I felt more at peace with the spirits and was able to pee alone, which felt like a huge accomplishment considering how terrified I was at the beginning. I even went down to the basement and stayed in there for a while with my producer, not alone, to see if we could have any contact with the girls down there. Nobody communicated with us when we were trying to talk to them, but it was really eye-opening to try and let myself be open and vulnerable in a situation which everything in my body wants to scream and run from. It felt liberating and electric and enthralling. Some people race cars, some people gamble, some people deep sea dive. Apparently, I stand in basements and talk to ghosts once every decade. A few more smaller things to mention are the door that kept opening itself in the bridal suite. Nobody was going in there, so that one was really strange. The normal caretaker there was back on the final day, and she was super lovely. She had had a few recent experiences of animals flying or jumping onto cars, windows, buses, of family members over the past few days, which seemed really weird. She was being super chill in the house on her own, which I'll forever have so much respect for. There was also a weird thing when my partner and I got back home from Wales. We both kept seeing a man in our home, just for 2 days. He was a man sitting on the toilet. I saw a man standing by our bed and felt a person sit on the bed whilst I was dozing / napping and tapping my shoulder. I thought it was my partner. I even heard him shuffle into the room. It was only when I opened my eyes that I realized it wasn't him. There had been one weird thing in the flat before filming. Someone knocked on my bedroom door really loudly and I went to see who it was and nobody in the flat would own up to it. But it was only after we got back that we both experienced some weirdness and it hasn't continued beyond those 2 or so days. Also, total segue here. I keep seeing ladybirds everywhere in my house, in my outer life, in my dreams. They're just everywhere for me right now. I'm trying to tell myself that it's lucky because I know they're meant to symbolize luck, but to be honest, it's kind of scaring me. So if you have any insights into what's happening there, do let me know. Thanks for reading. I adore you. Sending so much happiness and love your way, Sophie XX. Oh, Sophie, I love your story. It makes me so happy. I like reading paranormal things. I may be a medium and I might talk to dead people, but like, I like reading other people's stories where I don't have to experience them because I'm also super spooked out by going to places. But I also have a respect. Like, I went to school at a haunted college. It was a super, super old school to the point where at one point, one of the resident ghosts, I feel like I kind of just like made friends with. She had a music hall built in her honor and not many people went to my school for like music, even though it was like a college where a lot of like artsy people went. And I didn't always live on campus. There was times where I commuted and I was so exhausted because I was going to school and going to work and doing everything else. And I would sleep in the music hall in between classes and work and traveling because I had to drive so far to get to school in the first place. And the music hall was the warmest building on campus. And it's set up kind of like a giant church where there's like pews. It's kind of like a church slash theater. So there's pews everywhere, a giant stage, and then like balcony seating, I guess. And I would always sleep in the balcony seating with my, with a blanket or my jacket and my backpack. And I would always go in there and sleep. And I knew that she was in there and would help maybe keep people away from me because I was terrified of like sleeping anywhere else. Like you could sleep in your car, but when it's winter time and you don't want to, like you're a broke college student and you don't have enough money to even keep gas in your car, I would sleep somewhere else. But I was terrified to sleep like in the common area or anything else like all the football players would do, because they're just like, oh, I'm a big man, I can sleep wherever I want. I was like, that is not okay. So I would sleep in the pews in the music hall. And her legend or lore is that if you were playing the piano or the organ in the music hall and it was bad, you would hear her like click, 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 her heels on the floor up to the podium. And if you were playing bad, she would slam the doors, like these big wooden old 1800s doors, until you would stop and leave. Otherwise, she'd keep slamming the doors. And there were a few times, just a few, not a lot, where I felt like someone was walking towards me, sleeping in the church pews like a vagrant. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, oh, please, if it's you, just let me sleep here. I'm so tired. I'm trying so hard. And this is the warmest and safest place that I feel on this entire campus. Please just let me sleep here. Please don't think I'm disrespecting you. I promise I won't play the piano terribly. And then I would feel like the presence would leave. And it just got to the point where there was a picture of her, this person that had the music hall in her honor, in our like big central building for school, because there's all of the different buildings, right? So like the bigger central old building of the school, they had a picture of her, and I would always walk in and see it, and it always felt like she was like staring at me more than just through the picture. And I'd be like, thank you for not making me feel weird and giving me a safe place to sleep, and I promise I will keep studying very hard. So like, I don't know, this story makes me think about things like that, where I just got used to like walking onto campus and being like, oh, I feel like so-and-so is here, because there were so many ghosts that were just on our scary campus that it was like, you start to feel like they're just people that are there and like energies that are just existing with you, and it becomes almost comforting to a sense. So I totally know what Sophie's talking about. Now, I don't know what ladybirds are. Let me look that up really quick, because again, I think that's like the lightsaber, like lost in translation. Oh, ladybirds are just ladybugs. Oh, dude, I think you're trolling me right now. Sophie, I don't know how long it's been since you wrote in this story. I'm sure it's a lot. And if you read this, I'm excited for you to know that I'm reading your story, but maybe you'll never know. I don't know. Hopefully, you know. If you do, let me know in the comments, email me or something. But ladybugs are supposed to mean luck. But honestly, I have been seeing ladybugs the last 2 days, during days in which I felt like the weight of the world has just been on my shoulders, so much so that I'm like, I think this is why we have like the Atlas lore, like the dude that holds the world on his shoulders, because people are just like, sometimes I do feel like I'm holding the weight of the world on my shoulders. So there has to be a God that can like sympathize with me, you know? And those were the days when I was seeing ladybugs. So I feel like I'm being trolled a little bit by the universe reading your story now. But it's not about me. This is about you. Going back a little bit before your ladybugs, you were talking about feeling people in the home. I do think, well, you're living in a flat. So a flat, oh, okay. So I think you going out to Wales for those 5 days and living in that haunted mansion, quote unquote, sort of opened your eyes a little bit more to the things that were just naturally going on around you. Because I don't feel like the souls were bothering you. Like, I don't think souls from the manor followed you home. That is what I want to say. I feel like you being in the manor for those 5 days sort of loosened your ego and allowed yourself to, quote unquote, thin the veil around you, as the spiritual people like to say, or open your third eye, whatever it is. They have lots of fun things to say. And you were living in a flat, so that tells me that you have neighbors that are close to you, right? That in where I live, the US of A, we have apartments. That's what you call flats. And when you live in an apartment complex or a flat, there are other people living close to you. So it attracts the energy of others, the souls and spirits around those people as well. And since those buildings have been there for a long time, similar to the mansion that you were living in, there are going to be souls and spirits that reside there, just like the medium said, because they want to, or for other various reasons, etc. So I think that because you were at that manor for so long and your ego lessened, when you came back home, it was almost like those rose-colored glasses, those spiritual glasses, were still kind of on you and your husband's eyes or your partner's eyes, and you were able to perceive the things that are more so naturally just existing in your apartment or in your flat. And I think that is the causation of it. And after those days, you know, the excitement lessened and your spiritual glasses kind of fogged over a little bit, or maybe you put them, proverbially speaking, in the drawer and just went back onto your normal day-to-day routine. So that is my explanation for you coming home to those encounters. However, the ladybugs, I feel like, I don't know, when you ask me about the ladybugs, there's an older woman who steps forward. She is thinner. She has more of a birdie, what you would say, birdie frame. She's taller, though. She's very tall and lean, and her nose is a little bit bigger, and she's not afraid to say that. She says it's an endearing quality that she's come to learn and love about herself, but I feel like she's associated to you, and when you were noticing these ladybugs, there was a lot of things in your life, perhaps, that you were asking for. You felt like, I don't think you had less confidence in yourself, but I just feel like you needed someone else to celebrate in the things that were happening and going to happen in your life. And these ladybugs were sent to you by this woman in spirit to give you as a sign or a symbol to be like, yes, these good things are happening. They are going to continue to happen, and we can celebrate together and be excited about them together. So I feel like it's more of a celebratory thing of the luck that you were having in your life than anything else. So I hope that answers your questions. Let's move on, Sophie, thank you, to another listener story.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This story was sent in by Braden C., and it is titled Blue Genie Spirit Guide. Braden says, hey, I love your channel. I really connect and love how you talk about and explain things from your side in your videos. I just wanted to give you a quick story of how I found my spirit guide. Braden says, after listening to your video, How to Connect with Your Spirit Guides, I went out of town for a few days, leaving while it was dark. For context, I'm an empath. As I was driving, I was suddenly overwhelmed with fear. I became so scared driving through this particular stretch of road at night. I remembered in your video that you said you can ask for help from your spirit guides, so I decided to try it too. No kidding, the next three songs were about how everything's going to be okay. Like Bob Marley's Everything's Going to Be All Right started playing, and the next two songs were very similar in context. I knew then it was going to be okay and that my spirit guides were there. Fast forward a few months. As I was drifting off to sleep, that place between being awake and asleep, I saw my spirit guide. He appeared to me to resemble the blue genie from the movie Aladdin, but his top half looked more like the character Archer from the movie Small Soldiers, but he is all completely blue. I'm pretty sure his name is Roster. Just wanted to say thank you. Don't stop what you're doing, my dude. Braden, I love your story. I picked it out because I wanted to talk about spirit guides with everyone else that may be listening, because I know Spirit guides is like a point of contention when people decide to delve into their own spiritual journey, however that may play out or pan out for you. So I love the way in which you perceive your spirit guide. It makes me so happy. So we talked about the way in which you perceive spiritual things is going to be unique to the experiences you have had as a person, because that is the signs and symbols that spirit can give to you to convey who they are, how they want to help you, etc., and whatever it is that they're trying to talk to you about. So I feel like for Brayden, the way their spirit guide presented to them was very indicative of like who their personality was and how they're going to help you. To me, I don't know. To me, the way I would interpret the way that your spirit guide looks is probably, I don't know, like I would ask you, does the character of the genie and the characters of Archer from Small Soldiers, I'd never seen that movie. I actually asked my husband, because he's like the pop culture guru. He was raised on TV like every other baby in the 90s, more so than me. And I asked him if he'd seen the movie Small Soldiers, and he was like, that movie shaped me into the man that I am today. And I was like, listen, I just need to know who Archer is. And he told me, I looked it up. It looks like these, I guess there's like army men, like the like character toy soldiers, like action figures that look like G.I. Joes. And I guess maybe if I read it correctly, just briefly grazed over it, the G.I. Joe soldiers are like the antagonists of the stories. They're like the bad guys. But then Archer, who's a part of like, I don't know, they look like buffed Gremlins. Like if you've ever seen the movie Gremlins, which I also haven't, I just know pop culture references. Archer belongs to a species of other action figures or toys that come from someplace that look like roided out, buffed up gremlins. And I guess they're like the heroes of the story. So I would assume from the way this spirit guide showed themselves to you, it's not a literal interpretation of like, this is what they look like. It's just that you know what their personality and how they might help you as a spirit guide would be, based on how you perceive Brayden, the character of the genie from Aladdin, and Archer from Small Soldiers. Because there's so many times, like I told you in last week's podcast, the way in which I perceive your spirit guides is not necessarily what they look like. If I'm giving you a spirit guide reading because you asked me, it's more symbolic of who they are and how they help you. So a lot of times spirit guides will present to me to tell you who they are and how they help you using things that you already know. So this is just like a perfect example of how a spirit guide might present to you. Like if you're more comfortable with a spirit guide looking like a person to you, then that is how they will present to you. But if you are more like kooky and funny and odd like me and Brayden, your spirit guides are going to be like, look at me. I look like a blue cross between the genie and Archer from these two movies that I had in my childhood. And because of that, you'll know exactly what their personality is and how they're going to help you. Now, how this, I think you said his name is Roster, also perfect name. If you think, like the way I would interpret the blue of Roster, and Brayden, if you have any interactions further since then of this spirit guide with you, please let that take precedence over anything that I'm saying. Because the reason so many years ago I said I don't give spirit guide readings was because I think the relationship between you and your spirit guide is something that no one should negate from. And I don't want to tell people things about their spirit guides and have them think that what I say is more important than their own experiences. Because when it comes to your spirit guides, when I tell you things, I feel like it's someone telling you who your mom is. And you're like, you don't know who my mom is, you know? So that's why I give such caveats in my disclaimer when it comes to spirit guides. Because it's a very spiritual relationship that I don't think anyone outside from you and your spirit guide should have the power, or you should think they have the power to be more correct than you and your experiences. So anyways, I think that blue, the way I would interpret blue, is that the spirit guide is helping you to have understanding about things in a higher spiritual way. The way this was explained to me is in Eastern thought, not Western thought. of chakras, the Anahata chakra, or your heart chakra in Indian thought, is actually supposed to be blue, not green. We've westernized it to be green. That is the Western interpretation of the heart chakra. But I like the Eastern interpretation better because the heart chakra is supposed to be associated to blue, which is representative of the sky, which is limitless and ever expanding. You're supposed to have a love and understanding, which is limitless and ever expanding. So when spirit guides show themselves to me as blue, that helps me understand that they're going to help someone in their understanding of things. Because if you can change your perspective or add a new perspective to your understanding of whatever it is, whether it be a person, place, a situation, a thing, it's going to help you to be able to understand that thing in more depth, which leads you to being able to have a more well-rounded and versed perspective of it. Another way this is explained to me, because it's a higher understanding of things, it's understanding that the physical world and the spiritual world are very intertwined. They live synonymously, permeating in between one and another. Another way blue was explained to me was through, you know, that silly thing if you're like Christian or Catholic or religious and they say like, love thy neighbor. And you're like, okay, well, I can't love my neighbor because they do this, 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 and that wrong. Or it's not even a neighbor. It can just be like, can you love someone else, whether it be yourself or someone else? And you're like, well, no, because I have this shortcoming or that shortcoming, or I can't love this person because they did this bad thing and that bad thing. But if you can understand where those traits or characteristics arose from that person, whether it be from experiences, traumas, different perspectives, etc., if you can understand where those things came from, you can learn to love them. Am I saying that you're going to learn to love everybody, whether that be you or someone else? No, but if we can have understanding, it can lead to love. So this spirit guide for Brayden, in my interpretation, since he shows himself as being blue, it's going to help Brayden with his understanding of the world and things around him to lead to that higher enlightened consciousness of things. I hope that makes sense. I know I went on like a lot of little tangents there, but they all sort of coincide. And I just also want to talk about how the interaction that Brayden had with his spirit guide was, he points out, as I was drifting off to sleep, that place between being awake and asleep, I saw my spirit guide. This is not uncommon. There are so many people that reach out to me, whether it be email readings, private readings, whatever, and they'll ask me, is my house haunted? I was drifting off to sleep and I heard people whispering in my ears. I couldn't make it out, but it sounded like they were either really close to me or really far away, but I couldn't necessarily make out what it was that they were saying, etc., etc. In this state of being awake and asleep, our egos, our perceptions of ourselves and our surroundings that we've learned to use to quantify and understand the world around us to keep us safe, is lessened. Because you're drifting between the conscious and the subconscious, where that ego slips away, because we have crazy things that happen in our dreams, right? That's our subconscious working. So when we are allowing the crazy things to sort of come into fruition or be a reality or influence our thoughts, and we don't have those rules and regulations that we use to dictate how we perceive our waking world, that loss of ego is where a lot of spiritual information can come through. So it's not uncommon to hear or perceive spiritual things in that limbo, sleep awake sort of state. And it doesn't mean that you're haunted or that your house is haunted. It's just that you're perceiving the things that are normally there because your ego has been sort of turned off, if you will. So I think it's really, really cool. Like, there's so many little nuances in here of his spirit guides telling him that he's going to be okay. So the way he perceives his spirit guide and in what mindset, that sleep wake sort of limbo state, that is just so cool. And I wanted to share it with you all because it's not just me telling you what I think as a medium on these sides of the stories that I think is important, but it's also being able to share these stories with you so that you also don't feel alone in whatever it is that your spiritual journey is, whether you're like super into the paranormal, or if you are trying to like enlighten yourself and create your own spiritual journey, however it is that you see fit, and just learning as much as you can to create your own understanding of it. That is why I love sharing these stories, and it makes me very happy. So with that being said, thank you all for joining this Sunday's listener stories. If you have your own listener stories that you would like to add, please go down into the show notes below or the description below if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel, and click the link that says share your spooky paranormal stories here, and you will be redirected to our website where you can share your own spooky paranormal stories. And I will be looking for them because it's going to be great to read them, and you will have a chance to be featured in a future video or podcast. So thank you all for listening. I hope you're having a beautiful Sunday wherever it is that you are existing on this planet. And until next time, peace.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.